Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message. Hey North Point, thank you so much for joining us today. I can tell you, my voice might be just a little weak, but my spirit is strong. My expectation that God has something for you today has never, ever been higher. You know, I was just teaching my girls the other day, scripture in Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. You know, you might be facing some difficult moments right now in your family or on your job or in the economy, but I want you to know that God sees you and God has a plan for your future. You know, here at North Point, we have a mission. And we believe in that mission, and we like to say this mission together. I invite you right now, come on, let's say it together. We are here to create Christ-centered, culture-changing community. Come on, that is our mission. That's not just my mission and Destiny's mission. No, that is our mission. And because that is our mission, we have what we call our house habits. We have 12 house habits here at North Point, and those house habits are like pillars that hold up the mission. They make the mission possible. And so far this year, we have been going through these house habits. And man, we're going to spend 5 months all the way through May talking about our house habits. And you might say, man, that's not a series of messages, man. That's a whole season of messages, and you would be right. And then maybe you'd say, why so much time talking about our house habits? And that's because habits are so powerful. Habits are so powerful. You know, our habits shape our days. They say, depending on what studies you look at, but anywhere between 45 and 85% of our day, we are on autopilot, meaning that we are living off of our habits, that we are not actively processing and thinking. We are living off of what happened yesterday. We are living off our habits. That's an amazing percentage. At the lowest, almost half of your day. At the highest, almost entirely your day. And so our entire life is simply a compilation, if you would, of individual days. It's the days that make up our life. And if habits make up our days, then we could say it's actually habits that make up the entirety of our life. I love this quote from Stephen Pressfield, and he says, the difference between an amateur and a professional is in their habits. An amateur has amateur habits. A professional has professional habits. We can never free ourselves from habit, but we can replace bad habits with good ones. We can never free ourselves from habits. We have habits. We're always going to have habits. But there is one thing that we can do. We can get rid of the old habits, and we can create new and better habits. You know, for several weeks, we were looking at a graphic we called the decision cycle, and we're going to put it on the screen right now, and we're talking about awareness. That's where it begins, and awareness goes into evaluation, and then evaluation takes us into practice or into management, and I want you to see how this works when it comes to habit, because this season of messages is intended to help us become aware of our current habits. We become aware. Whenever we talk about habits, all of a sudden we start thinking about our habits. We become aware of the habits that we have in our home, the habits that we have in our morning routine, the habits that we have during the course of a week. We become aware of those habits. And then it forces us into evaluation. We begin to evaluate the habits we have against the habits that we wished we had. We start evaluating the habits that are in our life now versus the habits that we want to see in our life in the future. We start evaluating that, and then we move into practice, and we begin to practice the new habits that we want to implement. We begin to practice the new habits that we want to see in our life. And that's what this season of messages has been all about. I love Pastor Keith Kraft. He says this: focus makes good habits possible, and good habits make success inevitable. You see, so what we're trying to do is just bring focus on our habits. We want to bring awareness, knowing then that awareness is going to create evaluation, and that out of that evaluation, it can bring change. And if we can begin to change our habits and we can begin to create better habits, then success will become inevitable. You know, we've said multiple times throughout this series that our habits are either by design or by default. They're either by design, either you are creating those habits, or either you have created those habits without even realizing that those habits were being created. And this series is really all about helping us design habits to overcome our default habits. Because every one of us have bad habits. We all have habits that we have got maybe from family, maybe from friends, maybe from growing up, maybe from past pain and disappointments. And just as we go through life, we develop habits by default. This series is to bring focus into this area of habits so that we can change these habits and we can design habits that we want instead of just living with habits that we have created by default. And as we've been working our way through these habits, we started with our relational habits, then we moved into our transformational habits, and now we're in the last four, and we call these our impact habits. These are habits of impact. And last week, Pastor Destiny preached such a beautiful message about we lead out. We lead out of who we are. We lead out together because we are better together, and we lead out into the unknown. We are leaders and we lead out. And today I want to talk about our second impact habit, and that is we give generously. Come on, say it with me right now. We give generously. You know, you've probably heard it said here in our community, if you've been in our community for any length of time, that you will never be more like God than when you give. You'll never be more like God than when you give. This is what the scripture says, probably the most famous verse in all of the Bible, found in John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Come on, say it with me. Gave. God so loved the world, he had so much love for the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Matthew 7, verse 11, Jesus says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give?" Come on, there it is again. Say give, give. "How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" See, God is a generous giver, and God created us in his image. God is a generous giver. Now, let's just take a moment and let's define that word generous. What is the definition of that word? Generous means liberal in giving or sharing, unselfish. That you would be liberal in your giving, liberal in your sharing, that you would be unselfish. But I love this second definition of the word generous. It means free from smallness of mind or character. free from smallness of mind and character. You see, you cannot be generous if you don't have an abundance mindset. You can't be generous if you are just clinging to what you have because you have small thinking or because you have smallness of character. No, whenever you begin to live with an abundance mentality, that is when you become generous. So my question to you today is, are you generous by definition? Not are you generous by your definition of generosity, but are you generous by the real definition of generous? Generosity, it includes finances, but it isn't limited to finances. Are you liberal in giving and sharing of your time? Are you liberal in giving and sharing of your expertise and of your experiences and of your wisdom? Are you unselfish when it comes to the connections that you have with other people? Are you generous? Are you generous? You know, sometimes whenever we start talking about generous and generosity, we just need to stop for a moment and say, okay, what are some components or some characteristics that make up a generous person? And I've got four for us today, because if we want to give generously, then we've got to understand what it is to be a generous individual. So I've got four characteristics for us to kind of walk through today. And if we see these characteristics in our life, then they improve our chances of being generous. Here's the first characteristic of generous people. That's grateful. Grateful. Truly generous people are always grateful. Think about it for a moment. Have you ever seen a person who was very liberal in giving and sharing, very unselfish, free from that smallness of mind and character? Have you ever seen a person who was really, really generous that was not grateful? You see, you can't be generous with what you have if you are not grateful that you have it. You can't be generous with what you have if you're not grateful that you actually have it. I love this verse of scripture in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. Jonah the prophet, he says, "But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you." That's just an amazing thought right there. He says, with grateful praise, I will sacrifice. That means I'm going to give something up. I will sacrifice for you, and I will do it with an attitude of gratitude. I will do it with a grateful praise. What I have vowed, I will make good. He's saying, hey, what I promised I would do, I am going to fulfill that promise. I will give what I said I was going to give. I will sacrifice what I said I was going to sacrifice. And then he closes and he says, and I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. You see, you won't be able to let go of what's in your hand until you are grateful for what is in your hand. You won't be able to let go until you're grateful for what's there. And what allows you to let go of what's in your hand is realizing that you did not put it there in the first place. You can be generous with what you have because it doesn't belong to you. You can be generous for what you have in your hand when you come to the realization that it doesn't belong to me. It has been given to me by God. I am not the owner of it. I am just the steward of it. And when I realize that what I have in my hand is a gift from Almighty God, the scripture says that all good things come from God. Everything in my life I have received as a gift from God. And since God put it in my hand, it doesn't belong to me. And when I'm grateful for what he put in my hand, then I can be generous in giving it to others. You see, if you want to open the door for generosity in your life, then just practice gratitude. Practice gratitude. Before you can give generously, practice giving thanks. And whenever you begin to give thanks and live with gratitude, it will open the door for generosity in your life. Here's the second characteristic of a generous person that is intentional. Intentional. Generosity doesn't happen by accident. I want you to hear me. Generosity doesn't happen by accident. Generosity happens with intentionality. Generosity with finances demands intentionality in your budget. Generosity with time demands intentionality in your schedule. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He said, you should give what you have decided to give. I don't know what that sounds like to you, but that sure sounds like intentionality. You have decided to give it, so therefore, give it. See, generosity should be attached to a decision and not just an emotion. I'm going to say that for you again. Generosity, it should be attached to a decision and not just an emotion. I am not just generous when I feel my heartstrings being pulled. No, I'm not just generous when something moves me emotionally. No, instead, I am generous because I have decided to be that. I have decided I will be a generous person, and whether my heartstrings are being pulled, whether I'm being moved in my emotions or not, I've decided, I have made a decision, I will be generous. And once again, we're not just talking about finances. Yes, we should be generous with finances, but you should be generous with your praise. It's the same thing when we come into the sanctuary and we're standing there in worship, and the music team is playing and the singers are singing, and we're just standing there, right? And we're waiting to feel something in order to engage in worship, to sing along, to lift our head, to lift our hands. We're waiting to feel something, but you see, I've decided that I'm going to worship. I don't need to feel something emotionally. I've already made a decision. So I'm going to be generous with my praise in the sanctuary. I'm going to be generous with my finances when it comes to God. And there's so many times what I hear people say is people say things like, I'll be generous when I get a better job. I'll be generous whenever things slow down a little bit. I'll be generous when. See, if you aren't generous now, you'll never be generous when. If you aren't generous now, you'll never be generous when. So get intentional now. Stop waiting for when and decide, I will be generous now. Get intentional about the now in your life. Why? Because intentionality will pave the way for generosity. And we want to be like God. We want to give generously the way that He has given generously to us. And so that's going to happen through intentionality. And intentionality happens now. It happens now. So the characteristics of generous people, it's grateful, it's intentional. The next thing is valiant. Valiant. Generous people are valiant. They are brave, faith-filled people. It's brave, faith-filled people that love generosity because they love the adventure of generosity. And whenever we read through the book of Acts in the Bible, the book of Acts, it's called the Acts of the Apostles. It follows the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the story of Jesus here on the earth. And the book of Acts is like the birth of the early church. Jesus has just ascended to heaven. The kingdom of God is now advancing on the earth. The book of Acts is a thrilling book of adventure. And what we find is that there are brave, valiant people in the book of Acts doing incredibly generous things. So look at Acts chapter 4, verse 32. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. See, generosity is a key to kingdom living. And I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit that lives in you is a generous spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives in you is a generous spirit. And now this is the most beautiful thing, because this is what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to put his spirit on the inside of us, because in the Old Testament, they had to go into the temple to visit the presence of God. And the presence of God was contained in this thing called the Ark of the Covenant. And they would come and they would visit that Ark. Actually, the priest would only go in once a year, but that's where the presence of God dwelled. But now the presence of God would no longer dwell in a box. The presence of God would dwell in his people. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And that spirit is a generous spirit. I want you to see this. That spirit was given to you out of generosity. It was a gift from God. God gave you a gift when he gave you the Holy Spirit. It was given to you out of God's generosity. And the Holy Spirit is generous. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God. And God is generous. And the Holy Spirit makes us generous. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's job is to help transform us to be more like God. And so the Holy Spirit is helping us to live this life of generosity. So when we live life led by the Spirit, when we live life led by that spirit of generosity and not led by our flesh, which is filled with all of our worries and our fears and our doubts. But when we live a life that is led by the Spirit, which means we are living brave, faith-filled lives, guess what? The result of that will be generosity. The generous God giving us his Spirit to make us more like him, it will create generosity in us. And now here's the thing, there's nothing comfortable or boring about generosity. No, there's nothing comfortable. You read the book of Acts and it is a book of adventure, because that's what happens when we really begin to live generous lives. Whenever you begin to sow seeds of generosity, it will give birth to possibility in your life. And isn't that exactly what happened when God sowed his seed of generosity here in the earth? When God gave his one and only son, when God gave Jesus, whenever God gave generously, he gave birth to possibility. What is that possibility, you say? The possibility that you might say yes to Jesus. He gives you the chance to say yes. Out of his generosity, he created the possibility that you might become a follower of Jesus and spend eternity with him in heaven. You see, God gave generously with no guarantees, only possibilities. That's what God did. God gave his son for the chance, for the possibility that you would say yes, that you would live in relationship with him. which is exactly what God wants. And so what do we see? We see the characteristic of generosity. There's got to be that bravery. You've got to be valiant, faith-filled. And finally, when we get to this fourth characteristic of a generous person, we're going to say that this generous person has got to be expectant. They've got to be expectant. Generous people live life believing that the best really is yet to come. We say that a lot here at North Point. The best is yet to come. And here's the reason we say it. We say it because we believe it. We believe that the best truly is yet to come. They believe that by being generous, they can make a difference. This is what people who live expectant, they believe that by being generous, their life really can make an impact on this world, that they can literally see the impact of their generosity. There is a powerful scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul is writing, and this is what he says. He says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now, we could just stop right there. It's a powerful principle. He says, hey, just remember, what you give is what you're going to get back. Just remember, whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. So if you want to reap small, then sow small. But if you want to reap generously, then you need to sow generously. We looked at verse 7 just a moment ago, but he says, you must decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. He's saying, hey, don't be driven by your emotions or don't let somebody else put pressure on you. No, you should give out of the Holy Spirit on the inside who's making you generous. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit will cause you to give more than any person ever should, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God who is generous. And let us not forget that God gave his one and only Son the very best gift he could ever give. He held absolutely nothing back when he gave generously. And that Spirit in us is causing us to be like him, to give everything that we possibly can. Give a response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, who gives joyfully. You know, the only way that you can give cheerfully and you can give joyfully is when you give expectantly, because you're giving knowing that you are really sowing. And whenever you sow, you know that you are going to reap. And it says in verse 8, God will generously provide all you need. Then you will have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Wait a minute. God says, when you give generously, he's not just going to give you back just enough. He said he's going to give you back generously, not just so that you have enough, but that you will have more left over, that you will be able to give out of what God gives back to you, that you'll be able to give that to others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Oh, God, he's saying God's going to give you seed. God's going to keep giving you. God's going to keep bringing and providing and increasing resources in your life. And he says, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result in the ministry of giving. So he says, hey, two things are going to result from your generosity. Number one, the needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. And number two, they will joyfully express their thanks to God. He said, two things are going to happen out of your generosity. You're going to be able to meet the need that somebody else had that they could not meet themselves. And the second is that you are going to connect those people to God. Come on, they are going to give thanks and give praise to this God who provided for them in their moment of need. So he says, two amazing things are going to happen out of your generosity. You're going to meet the need, and you're going to help people connect with God in praise and in thanksgiving. You see, this is what happens when we are expectant. When we know what we give, it's going to create a return. When we know what we give, it's going to meet a need. But it's not just going to meet a need. It's going to open up the door and allow people to connect with their Creator, allow people to connect with their Heavenly Father. It's going to open up the possibility of relationship. It's going to allow people to praise God for all that He has done for them. That's what's going to happen. So it's in that expectation, that expectancy that we sow, that we give, that we sacrifice, because we know that God will create great things out of it. That's what we do. So whenever we talk about we are people who give generously, it's our house habit. We give generously. Whenever you see that word give, I want you to think of the acrostic. We are grateful. We are intentional. We are valiant. And we are expectant. We are grateful, we are intentional, we are valiant, and we are expectant. And when we have these characteristics, we can be generous. It's what God is calling us to be. He's calling us to be like Him, and He is a God who gave generously, and He wants us to give generously as well. We are wrapping up all of our messages this year with a lead acrostic, because in 2021, we've said this is our year of application. This is our year where we put some things into operation. And that's what these habits are really all about, putting these habits into operation so they can create change and transformation and impact in and through our lives. And so out of that year of application, we said, hey, this is what we want to do. We want to lead ourselves well in 2021. We want to lead ourselves well so that ultimately we can lead other people well. And so our acrostic for lead is learn, evaluate, apply, and then do it again. So what did we learn today? What is our takeaway? Our takeaway is this: God is generous, and our desire is to be more like Him. God is generous, and our desire is to be more like Him. Our evaluation is this: are you grateful? Are you intentional? Are you valiant? And are you expectant? Because it's hard to be generous if you are not those things. It's hard to be generous if you are not grateful. It's hard to give what's in your hand if you're not grateful for what's in your hand. It's hard to be generous if you're not living intentionally. If you're not living with intentionality in your time, your resources, your finances, your expertise, your talents, if you're not living intentionally with your schedule, it's really hard to be generous. Are you living intentionally? How about, are you valiant? Are you brave? Are you faith-filled? Because it is hard to sacrifice and to give what God is requiring us to give if we are not brave and faith-filled. We need to be valiant. And then lastly, are you expectant? Do you really believe that the best is yet to come? Do you really believe that the seed that you sow is going to come back as a harvest in your life. Whenever you sow and you decide that you are going to serve on one of our teams here at North Point, you're going to go down and help at one of the ministries taking place downtown. Whenever you decide that you're going to give your time or your talent, maybe you can play the drums or the instrument, you say, man, I'm gonna do whatever I can. I want to do something for God. And you are expectant that whenever you sacrifice and you give, God is going to give you more in return. Why? Because that's who God is. God is generous. So that's our question. Are you grateful? Are you intentional? Are you valiant? Are you expectant? It's hard to be generous if we are not those things. And then finally, our application is this. Do one act of real generosity this week. Just one act. I'm not asking you to do multiple things this week. No. I'm saying do one act. Remember the definition of being generous. It's to be liberal in our giving, liberal in our sharing. It is to be unselfish. Do one act of generosity this week. And you know what it's going to take? It's going to take you being grateful, grateful that you have the time or resources. It's going to take you being intentional. Because that act of generosity, guess what? It's not just going to happen. You're going to have to make it happen by being intentional. And then you know what? You're going to have to be brave, because if you've never practiced this extreme generosity, wow, there's going to be moments of doubt and apprehension and maybe even a little anxiety and fear around this act of giving unselfishly of yourself, of going above and beyond for a coworker or a family member. Hi, there's going to be that moment. You're going to have to be brave and faith-filled in that moment, and you're going to have to believe that, man, that I have this expectation that whenever I do this, something good is going to come out of this. Just one act of generosity this week. And then the D is always the same. Just do it again. Get into this process and get into this flow and just do it again and again and again until now we don't have to think about doing an act of generosity. We live doing acts of generosity. Why? Because generosity has become our habit. Our default of selfish and small-mindedness, our default of holding on to things, that was our default habit. No, we're changing that habit. We're creating a habit by design. We're creating a habit where we are going to give generously to every person that God puts in our life. Let me pray for you today. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, God, that you are generous. Thank you, God, that you withheld nothing from us. Not only did you give us the very best gift that you ever could when you sent your one and only son, Jesus, to this earth, but God, you continue to give us good gifts. You continue to allow us to experience your generosity on a regular basis. God, thank you for being generous. And God, it is our desire to be like you. It is our desire to be generous. God, we want to live our lives giving generously like you have given to us. Father, I thank you that you are good, and I thank you that you are faithful, and I thank you that you are doing a work on the inside of us to make us more and more like you. Right now, maybe you're saying, Philip, I want to receive the gift of Jesus that God gave. He was so generous to give Jesus as a sacrifice for my sin so that I could have a fresh start and a brand new beginning. And right now, maybe you say, Philip, I want to receive God's generosity. You can do that right now, right there where you are, and just say, God, I receive your generous gift of Jesus. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want Jesus to give me a fresh start and a brand new beginning. God, thank you for your generosity. Or maybe today you're watching and you say, Philip, I want to live generous. I want to live generous. I don't want to live in the smallness of my thinking. I don't want to live in the smallness of my character. I don't want to live in selfishness. I don't want to live in that limitation. I want to be generous all the days of my life. If that's you, just tell God right now, God, that's who I want to be. Come on, right there where you are. Just tell him, God, I want to live a life of giving generously. Father, thank you. Thank you for every person that is connecting with you right now. God, thank you that you are the one who forgives our sins and the one who gives us hope. And God, we ask that you would continue to change us and transform us, make us who you created and designed us to be. Help us to live a life of generosity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 and amen. Hey, I just want to say thank you so much for watching today as we are working through these house habits, moving out those bad habits, creating those good habits in our life, because I know that if we can get the right things going in our lives, we can get our lives going in the right direction. So I want to encourage you today, be generous. Be generous this week with your finances. Be generous with your compliments. Be generous with your encouragement. Be generous with your words. Be generous with your life this week. And then let's just keep doing it next week and next week and next week and next week. And actually next week, we're going to be talking about our next house habit, which is we cheer enthusiastically. And I can't wait to see you right here.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.